Welcome to you, Kanaan Lipschitz.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure. Kanaan, what has been the reaction of American jury to Nikki Haley's resignation? Here we're devastated in the southern tip of Africa, completely devastated.
Exactly. It was, first of all, it was a disproportionate reaction because Nikki Haley is a diplomat, maybe a senior one, but not someone whose actions have a day-to-day, a daily influence on the day, on the lives of American Jews. And yet there was an outcry, an outpouring of lamentation over her resignation. And part of it goes back to how she defends Israel on the international forum more consistently and more powerfully than perhaps any other of her, any of her predecessors. But part of it is also because Nikki Haley, to many American Jews who feel a little bit uncomfortable with Trump, with President Donald Trump, is the ultimate ideal president. This is the person that so many of them would like to see in the White House.
Absolutely. And of course, she coming out, you know, she came out and said she would not run for the White House. I don't know. Maybe not 2020, but maybe 2024. Do you think it's
exactly
a possibility?
She's only 46.
Yeah.
She has time to run, and that hope is the silver lining for a lot of the people who are now lamenting her departure. She's a person who's close to the Jewish experience in many ways, not only in her affection and defense of Israel, but also in the fact that she herself comes from a minority. She is Asian in her descent. It's also, she served a sort of defense for a lot of Trump's Jewish supporters. You know, okay, they would say, so you don't like Trump, but hey, you know, at least we have Nikki Haley we can all agree on.
Exactly.
No, that's not.
Exactly. Who, you know, what are the conversations around who is likely to be her successor?
Well, right now, that's anybody's guess. There was talk that Bolton, John Bolton, would have been the ideal replacement, but he's, of course, national security advisor, so he's out of the game. And right now, there is an unspoken assumption that the successor would be someone who can get along seamlessly with Trump, because Nikki Haley, in her resignation, that she didn't thoroughly explain, she said that she sometimes disagrees with Trump. So the next nomination needs to be someone who's going to toe the line and not cause yet another embarrassing resignation.
But Kanaan, don't you think that it's unrealistic? I mean, in human relationships, we don't always agree with each other, even more so in diplomatic relationships. Is it realistic to say it's got to be somebody who will always agree with Trump?
Well, that is true, that's not a realistic expectation, but Nikki Haley had a very serious political career behind her.
Yeah.
She was a South Carolina governor.
Yeah.
So this is a person who is strong and independent enough to take those inevitable disagreements to the next level and decide on resignation, because in a way the future of her career is not solely dependent on this function. She has a bank, a capital that she can rely on.
All right. Just before I let you go, what news is coming out of Europe at the moment?
Well, right now I'm talking to you from Copenhagen.
Oh, how is it, Denmark?
Denmark.
Yes.
It's a lovely day, lovely weather, and a lovely occasion here for the Jewish community, because we're celebrating the 75th anniversary of the rescue of Danish Jewry,
which
is a unique ray of light in the history of Europe during the Holocaust. Danish fishermen enlisted in the service of the resistance to ferry across the water about 7,000 Danish Jews. Virtually all of Denmark's Jews, save a few, were killed. That's a rare, it's a round number. It's 75 years since since the operation. But it's also an opportunity for a lot of us in Europe to take a break from the daily news about harassment and arson and beatings and look at a rare positive example. Unfortunately, just as I arrived here, it became known that yesterday night, the house of a Jewish politician in Lund in Sweden, just across the border, was torched in an apparent anti-Semitic incident. It's the second of its kind in recent weeks. So even this moment of joy and happiness and gratitude is somewhat marred here in Scandinavia by that event.
Gosh, such an interesting story with Denmark. I mean, there are legends about the king and how the king wore yellow stars. From what I've been able to research, the stories are legends. They aren't actually true. They aren't fact. But it is certainly fact that Denmark protected its Jews when many other European countries didn't.
Absolutely. Of course, as with any historic reality, this one is complex. Mm. Some members of the resistance actually charged a fee for their services, so it wasn't all voluntary. But what is certain is that hundreds, if not thousands of people, risked their lives in Europe to save the Jewish population of an entire country. And it's the only place where that's happened.
Yeah. Knaan Lifschitz, it is an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I look forward to speaking to you every week. Can we do this again? And you just let us know where you are in Europe, what you're covering, what the news out of Europe is. Absolutely love talking to you.
Sounds like fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much and keep up the great work. God bless.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.